brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
I mean, when you get rules made up for you, you may be doing something right.
Yes. So for me, the focus has been just go 1-0 every week. Like every team's a new opponent.
We had to lock the gates because we had too many in there. And then they started climbing the fence.
Whoa.
Well, why wouldn't they? Yeah.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us. However you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Nikki there, and this one is a fun one on multiple fronts.
Yes, because titles are on the line
mm-hmm. This
week, Nelly. We have made it.
Yes. Well, I mean, you got this week and you got the two behind this one. And,
yeah.
And then come
down to these games this week.
Absolutely true. So last week, it was McEachern and Hillgrove.
Yep.
It's our first time ever at the Grove.
Okay.
5,000 people, and they had to stop selling tickets at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. And if you didn't have a ticket, you weren't allowed on the grounds. So people were being rather imaginative when it came to their parking in the area.
Where were they parking?
Oh, sides of roads, grassy knolls, you know, just kind of pull off to the side outside the white line, you know, sit there so you're not having incidents or anything like that. But yeah, people got imaginative and they had to have extra people to make sure that folks weren't scaling fences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious because I asked folks about that. But no, it was a great game and you got to see why, McEachern and Hillgrove and Harrison are just knocking each other around once again in that region.
That's awesome. And then we also had
Troop and LaGrange.
Now, last week on the podcast, my question was, John, why is this a must win for LaGrange? Right. But instead, it extended the Tigers' winning streak to 8 games.
Mm-hmm. 38-24 win. Cody Chaffin's on the call for that one. And so once again, this is Troop and Sandy Creek chasing each other for the one and the two there. And so it was great to be in front of that crowd as well to kind of share that one with the rest of the state as well.
Yeah, and I feel like the state saw Garrison Edwards go off, right? He rushed for 119 yards, a touchdown, passing for 129 and two TDs. So
yes, C.J. Pittman had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, and Henry Pullen had three, ran for 105 on 23. So
there you go.
McEachern wins by 21, and it was Troop getting the win over LaGrange, and that sets up this week. So where are we?
Okay, well, I was going to ask
you. Well, then go ahead and ask me.
Are we talking about other stuff that's happening through the week?
Yeah, other stuff.
All right. So I have a question for you. Let's see if you can do it. I know you can.
Right on.
Five of the top 6A heavy hitters remain undefeated. Can you name all five in 10 seconds?
Let's see. Grayson Buford Carrollton. That's the easy part. And then, Lowndes and McEachern.
Oh, okay. You did that. I think I was about on my second hand. Okay, job. Well, that was way too easy.
Well, that's how stacked 6A is.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah. So let's discuss. We're going to go down to Clayton County now. So we're going whoop.
Yeah.
We're going to Clayton County.
Right on.
Griffin
beat
Jonesboro 21-15.
Great
now,
season for Griffin.
The significance of this, and you just said it, great season. They started 0-2, but now they are going to play for the first region title since 2014.
Mm-hmm. You're going up against Central Carroll.
Yes.
Which is, that is no small feat. And they've built a program with the Lions up there at Central Carroll over the last handful of years. We catch up with Coach Brown at Media Day out in West Georgia, so we know what they're building. And for Griffin to get this kind of a turnaround this quickly, I know that everybody down in Spalding County is really enjoying what you're seeing from the Griffin Bears. And I don't think we've seen anything like this since maybe Coach DeVorsney and having the run that they had there back then. So really looking forward to seeing where Griffin is.
Mm-hmm.
And can they go up against Central Carroll, who has turned into one of the big dogs, even though they're a Lion. Turn into one of the big dogs in that region.
So we're going to keep an eye on that game this week. And it's the first year for Coach Goodrum as a head coach there. And Griffin, previously, they were 1-9 in the past few seasons. So what he's doing, I mean, that it's just awesome. I'm excited to watch that. So to follow up, you know, with that, John, are there any other teams that are unexpectedly playing for a region title?
Well, I mean, unexpectedly. So now you're
you didn't think that they'd be there, and the next 2 weeks is absolutely critical.
I mean, you're probably a Lithonia you're looking at because Lithonia is going to be taking on Lithonia beats Pius by 41. I don't think anyone expected that, but now you have Lithonia taking on Marist and the Lithonia Bulldogs. That one for me just sticks out. That Lithonia is getting right there and they're staring at Alan Chadwick as the way to get toward a region title. And a lot of folks have done that.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks have not gotten that region title.
Not succeeded.
Because they've run into Marist. And so I want to see how Lithonia responds. And obviously, they look like they're heading to the playoffs in the postseason, first time in a handful of years. But what happens when you're in that environment against a Marist and that region title's on the line? That one's one for me.
Okay, so that's one to watch. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else this week that's making you go,
Oh, boy. Oh, goodness gracious. Let's see. I mean, let me go down to the low classifications and see if there's anything sticking out. Worth County and Jeff Davis, 9-0, 7-1, and they're going to the Pinelands, going to Hazelhurst to see what's going on there. Swainsboro, Savannah Christian. Savannah Christian, everybody looks at Savannah Christian. Oh, they're 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, the three losses. Talk about them.
Yeah, well, it's just the way that they schedule, their non-region. This is what I always say. If your team, doesn't matter who your team is, if your team in non-region schedule has a number that is larger to the right of the dash than the left of the dash, it's okay. Because sometimes you don't have a lot of region games. Sometimes it's a sprint, and sometimes you've got to play up in class. Sometimes you've got to play out of state, and you've got to sit there, and you might even be a 1-3 or something like that. There have been times in the past where we've had Eagles Landing Christian had 5 losses heading into the postseason, and they're playing for state championships. And so it's how you set yourself up in season one to get you ready for season two that you hope gets you ready for season three. So 5-3 Savannah Christian is not a 5-3 Savannah Christian, if you
That's
know what
fair.
I mean. So I would say those in the smaller classifications, Northeast Macon, Dodge County. Dodge County's had a great year so far. Two teams ranked top 10 in Class AD1. Lamar County Social Circle, that's one in that round robin involving Monticello, Jasper County, and Lamar County that's attached to that one. So keep an eye there. Fitzgerald's coming out of Lane 8 right now after their rough start. They're now 5-3, ranked top 10. Dublin knocking off Bleckley County last week. They're back in the top 10, and that four-way street fight for the region title there. That's one to pay attention to. The folks down in South Georgia, the old Region 1, they're back at it again this week. So I'm intrigued with a lot of stuff that's going to be going on. And region play, Hebron Christian and Stevens County is another one to look at, too.
Hebron Christian, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my kids are a fellowship, and they're just always right under Hebron Christian.
And you got Wesley in this week. 6-1, 6-2.
Yeah.
It's another one.
So I'll be watching that one
Yes,
for
you
sure.
Will. Okay.
So what else are we going to be watching this week? We've got a fun show today.
Yes, we do. It is North Gwinnett and Norcross. And we catch up with both of those coaches. And there was one coach that you know that we're going to be tossing to first, and you know this individual because someone else under your roof has a relationship with this individual.
That's right. So my husband, Michael Palmer, he played.
I've heard of him,
yeah, he played at Parkview.
Yes, he did.
And Coach Godfrey was previously at Parkview, seceded Cecil Flo.
Mm-hmm.
And Cecil, Eric, and Michael actually went on a mission trip together to Serbia.
Wow.
Yeah. They taught football to some Serbian youth.
Far out.
It's pretty cool. He has a jersey and everything. It's like his favorite. I mean, you know, he has jerseys from Parkview and from Clemson and, you know, Falcons and Steelers. But he loves that one that he got in Serbia just because of what it meant, you know. So, I'm excited for Coach Godfrey. What he's done at North Gwinnett in a short amount of time is pretty incredible.
And we catch up with him. How about right now? It's our first conversation of the day. We catch up with Eric Godfrey, North Gwinnett, who hit a milestone last time out.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. First things first, big congratulations on your 150th win. Mm-hmm. And he did it in style, John, with a shutout over Meadow Creek.
Yep.
63-0.
Yep.
That was impressive.
Yep. So, tag along question there. Do you remember win number one as a head coach?
Yes. I was at Loganville High School, played our rival, Monroe, and we beat them 7-0. We take the very first drive all the way down. It's the first time I was ever the head football coach in our very first game, and we drive down the field and score, and like, oh, man, yeah, we got this. This is easy.
7-0.
And there was no more scores the rest of the game. It was
Well, speaking of seven, your only loss this season was to Douglas County, first season of the game, and then you've won 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that season opener loss catapult the Bulldogs to where you guys are now?
Right. Honestly, it was, you know, you never want to lose. You know, we had opportunities to win that game, and we didn't. We didn't capitalize in moments we could have. Defense played well, and like I said, offense, we missed too many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so it really is easier to learn after a loss. You know, you really challenge your kids and push your coaches to learn after wins as well, always. But you always want to be more motivated to want to learn, want to get better. So the loss really did help catapult us into, you know, better practices and better better focus and attention to detail getting ready for Colquitt County. And and I mean, Douglas County is a great football team. So, you know, if you're going to get exposed in some things, that they're going to expose it.
Now, when you're watching film on Norcross, what are you consistently seeing that they're doing that might pose as a challenge for you guys?
So please give your game plan away right now.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Right. And I'll be honest, their offense seems to be struggling a little bit. So which matches up well for us because our defense is playing so well. But they still got guys to make plays. And you know, they still got, you know, a good running back and, you know, got some receivers going to make a play. So, you know, they got, you know, good tight ends. So they've got, you know, they've got guys that can go make plays for sure. And then defensively wise, really their defensive front is pretty dang good and they're disruptive. And they like to bring both linebackers. They're going to bring six at a time. So our big thing is making sure we do have eyes up. We pick up blitzes. We pick up the guys coming and hopefully get to the second level and create some big plays.
Mm-hmm. 10 touchdowns, I think, allowed. I think it's a sum total of like 69 points for the entire season, and obviously two shutouts in your last three. I know that that's one of the tenets that you've always taken a lot of pride in with this defense. What's it like to see them consistently keeping the other guy down so the offense can get the numbers on the board and the possessions and the reps that you're looking for so you can be ready for season three? What's it like to see this defense work like this?
Right, yeah. It's a good feeling as a coach to know, you know, if you can choose, don't want a great defense or great offense, of course you want both, but you're going to choose a great defense because if you're playing a really good defense, you can always be close in the game. You know, you can play a really good team and still have a shot in the fourth quarter. So it is good knowing, like, we just don't give up very many big plays. And that is a big stress of ours, you know, from the secondary of, you know, matching up the secondary with our fronts and, you know, if we're bringing heat and understanding ball coming out quick. And so that they really have a good handle on of what's coming at them. Our coaches do a great job preparing our kids for all these situations. And then you know, both of our linebackers do such a good job of fitting on the run. You know, if the D-line's not exactly right, they're going to make them right. And so like I said, they really all work really well together.
Yeah, I mean, defense hasn't allowed more than 14 points, John.
Well, in a winning situation, they gave up 21 to Douglas in that first game, but ever since then, they've shut it down.
Yeah. So you mentioned the linebackers, and I've got – this is a non-football question, by the way.
I'm shocked.
Well, no, it is. But anyway, you'll see where I'm going with this.
Uh-huh.
So your son, Jake, he's a senior linebacker.
Ooh.
Coach –
actually, junior this year, junior.
Junior. Yeah, another – okay, great. My bad.
Yeah.
All right, so Michael and I, you know my husband, we're just now starting this youth sports journey.
Oh, yes.
And it is hard. These parents, I mean, a little nutty, if I'm going to be honest.
White comma, no.
For parents out there, I mean, you're in a unique situation where you're coaching these young men, but you're coaching your son on and off the field, if you will. So what is your advice on how you, for other parents, right, coming through these young kids that are coming up through the feeder systems, you know, that might be coming through your program, what's your advice for them as they get ready to just be a part of that pedigree of the Bulldog Nation, if you will?
Yes, no, absolutely. And that's a great question. And because it is something, you know, all of us parents, you know, we're all driven and want to see our kids do great, be great, and help them improve and help them be better. But I think too many adults want their tiny children to be the professional right now, to be the, you know, to be the best right now, instead of allowing them to enjoy the sports when they're young. You know, when they're that 5 to 10 range, they just need to have a good time. Mm-hmm. They need to enjoy themselves. There's something, they did a thing with a bunch of professional athletes and asked them, what was your, when you're coming off the field, you know, what did you want to hear, you know, growing up? You're the elite of the elite. You know, went all the way from a child all the way through. What did you want to hear? And a majority of them all said, all we wanted to hear was, hey, we really enjoyed watching you play. You know, they didn't need all the different critiques, telling them what they did wrong, what they did right. And all this stuff. Just saying, I really enjoyed watching you play.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest advice for parents is make sure your kids understand that your love for them is not performance driven. Your love for them is, are they working really hard? Are they being respectful? Are they doing everything they can to be great? Are they helping others around them? And if they're doing those things, then they should be more proud of them than anything, because that's lasting. That's what's going to last forever. And then now when they start getting 11 and 12, they start hitting puberty. Okay, now you can start being a little more critical and being a little more, you know, driven on, you know, we got to get this right. And as long as the player once. I know, you know, Jake at a young age, he loved playing and he was good and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But it's around 12 years old, I guess, when he got serious.
Yeah.
And then so when he got serious, I got more serious with him. And so it was fun in that nature. You know, had I pushed it at 8, 9, 10, he might not have, he might have been like, this is not fun anymore. And so I'm afraid we lose so many kids in rec ball because their parents might make it not fun anymore.
Right. How do you keep it fun for your guys at 16, 17, 18 years old?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we literally say, look, we're going to work as hard as anybody in the state. We're going to push you and work really hard, mm-hmm. but we're going to have a good time doing it. That's just something of, it's one of my mottos in life. You know, I love working hard. I love the grind, but I also hate being miserable. I think life is too short to be miserable. So I'm going to make sure myself that I'm not miserable. And so we do, at times we got to be serious. We're very serious. At times it can be a little more loose. We can be a little more loose. And our kids respond really well to it. We have a lot of energy in the weight room, all the way from, you know, music choices go all over the board. That's a lot of fun. And seeing what they know and don't know. And they get to respond to, you know, and they can have a good time in the weight room as long as they're getting all their work done. And so there really is a balance, you know, it really is a good balance. They can't be, you know, too loose and get away with too much. But at the same time, we can't be so thumb on top of them that it's, you know, they're just robots and can't enjoy life. So.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do you juggle and how hard is it to juggle all four personalities of coach, dad, the dad coach, and the coach dad? How do you juggle those four, and how difficult is that?
Right, yeah, no, it is difficult, you're right, because dad wants to yell at kid. You know, we're always better at yelling at our own children than we are anybody else. We're really good at that, especially talking about younger kids. Man, my kids were younger. they make parents so mad. They make us crazy. They get our blood pressure going. Nobody can make you pissed off mad like your own child. So having to control that. Game one, as a matter of fact, his freshman year, jumped him pretty good coming off the sideline. His very first game ever, he starts as a freshman for us. We're in the bins playing Mill Creek, who just won a state championship, and I got to ripping him pretty good. And remember, hey, calm down, coach. calm down, coach. So it works out well, though. Jake will even tell you, like, we're especially this whole recruiting process, mm-hmm. and just being there through all the football stuff, it's really helped our relationship greatly. Just the amount of time that we have, spent together. And he's on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. So I got other coaches that can yell at him as needed. And so I don't have to do as much of that. It was fun our freshman year, because you always have to wait on me, you know, driving a car. And so we'd drive back and we'd sit in the driveway on Fridays, because I don't get to watch a lot of him during a game, because, you know, I'm helping manage the whole team. And so we'd sit in the driveway and we'd watch film together. I give him some critiques on what would be good and, you know, what he could do better. And, you know, this is a good play here. And I actually missed that time. Now he's a junior, now he's driving, so I don't have that time. You know, so I actually, you know, miss those times. But it's been really sweet and special for us. I think I've done a decent job of managing not being too much on them, letting other coaches. And the other coaches know they can say whatever they want to them, and they won't hear nothing from me. It might hurt my feelings at times, but guess what? I got to get over it too, so.
Well, it's going to be great to see you. Thanks for hanging out with us, and thanks for going deep dive, because, you know, sometimes, and I know, once again, I know this will shock you, that Nikki and I will go off script and off board. You know, we will have our first 25 plays like Bill Walsh scripted, and then all of a sudden we'll just go off the board. But no, thanks for hanging out with us. And
that's right, absolutely.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Thank you. And I love the Father Son deal. I'm all about parenting, so I love it.
And we'll definitely be keeping an eye on you and everything going on at North Gwinnett, and we're looking forward to seeing you this Friday night. Thanks for dropping by, and as always, it's great to see you, my friend. We'll see you soon. One coach down, and the next one coming up here on Football Fridays. Remember, 7 o'clock start. We'll remind you of this through the show. First year as a head coach, but he had a fantastic learning tree. So Eric Godfrey at 150 wins. Corey Richardson is right now building that dossier where he is becoming a head coach for the first time ever, and it's at a place where he's been for over 20 years. Here's our conversation with Corey Richardson.
We're so excited about this game coming up, Coach. The region title is on the line. The Bulldogs have won the last six meetings. I know you are very familiar with this. So when you're looking at this matchup, how much are you thinking about that, the past, if you will, when it comes to this game on Friday?
I mean, I will be honest with you. The way I've approached this team is just like you get to about the midpoint in the season, and we've lost two games by a total of 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the focus has been just go 1-0 every week. Yeah. Like every team's a new opponent, and even last week I was focusing on Burtmar and trying to get the kids to play and execute at a high level. Because at the end of the day, if you want to get to where you want to get to, you know, you got to really stack practices and have really effective, solid practices.
When it came
deep down, I know it, mm-hmm. but I'm not focused on it. I'm just focused in the moment of where we're at
mm-hmm.
as a team.
No doubt. Now, why now? I know a lot of folks may sit there and knock on your door and ask, well, why would you want to be a head coach? What was it about this particular moment in your coaching career that was like, yeah, I think I want to be a head coach and I want to be the head coach at Norcross? What was the thought pattern of, yeah, I think this is the time for me?
Well, like for years, I kind of had that passion inside of my heart. Like I knew, and the cool thing was I was coaching the defensive line. And nothing against defensive line play, but O-line, linebackers, you have a lot of film you've got to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just got caught up in the process of everything, like parent meetings and calendars and dates and communication. I was in when Keith Maloof would have these kind of calls with you guys, I was sitting over there on the couch and I was just listening, taking it all in.
Mm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. This is not my style. I'm not a big interview guy, but I just love the process of everything and playing that role. And I had some opportunities that I interviewed at some places to get the experience of it. But my heart kept coming back to Norcross because of how special this place is and the community.
What's the easiest thing about being a head coach that you've learned? And what's the most difficult thing about being a head coach that you've learned?
The thing that I've noticed, I always like being in the background. I don't like getting the attention. I just kind of like being in the background and helping things work and function. I noticed that you're on the phone a lot more. And then, the fundraising side of it, that's been I'm not going to lie, that's been the most stressful thing for me because I'm so new to it.
Mm.
And Keith Maloof had done it for so many years, coming into this program, he prided himself on each and every day or each and every year, what can I do to make this program better? What can I do to make our facilities better? And, if you want to do that, you got to be able to raise the money. So he had a lot of pride in that. So that's probably been one of the biggest things. And the interesting part is, I went through a full-fledged interview. I've been at Norcross for 24 years, and I interviewed with Mr. Bimes and Mr. Bishop, our principal, and it was a full-fledged interview. I interviewed an entire period, and I'm thinking we're about done with the interview, and I had health class second period. And Mr. Bishop's like, why don't you come back at the end of the day, and we can finish this interview up. So I leave and I'm doing CPR. I teach 4 periods of CPR.
Oh, wow.
I come back towards the end of the day and I'm sitting here. I go into their office to sit down and I get their interviewing me like it's still going on. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this thing's off the chain. So I go through the whole interview process. And, about that time, they looked at me and said, I think, does your wife know about this? And I'm like, yeah, my wife's known about this. And they go, well, we'd love to hire you. So when I got the job, the response was, you've got some big shoes to fill, I kind of swallowed that pill because you're following the winningest head coach in Gwinnett County. He's been here for 26 years. And I guess my approach to everything is when I think about the people that I've included in my circle, like, the coaching staff and the players and the community, some of the community people that's still involved. And then I brought in some more community people to help out. When I think about the people that are in my life, I don't feel like it's big shoes because I got great people around me.
Mm.
And that's been my approach. Everything that I've done,
I've included other people in some of my decision making because I've got some great people around me, and the kids are amazing.
I was going to say, Coach, I mean, you've got great players around you. Can you describe what that relationship is like? I mean, you've still known these kids, but now you're sitting in a new position as head coach. And so do they treat you differently, or are they like, you know, jabbing you a little bit? Are they giving you a hard time? What's that like?
Some do a little bit. You know, my it's funny because my daughter's a sophomore softball player here. And so, like, some of the sophomores players tell her that I'm really scary, but, you know, and it's kind of funny, like, your dad's really scary, but, like, I got guys that will just come into this office and they will lay down on this couch, you know, like kind of to, like, before, like, a certain point in pregame, I got two or three kids that started coming in my office and they almost fall asleep on my couch, just kind of relaxing and a little break in the pregame itinerary. And it just shows you the comfort level they have around me. And like, I'm always going to be a player's kind of coach because you get into this and like, I love the weight room aspect, going in the weight room and watching them. I love loving on them. I mean, that to me, that's why you become a coach. It's, you know, the wins and losses take care of itself with the hard work, but you know, just the, you know, just the love that we share together. We got a great group of kids. They're fun to be around. They're fun to coach. Do we have a bunch of five stars? No. We got a bunch of great high school football players that just work hard every day, and they love each other. And to me, that is a big reason for our success, because they love each other and they believe what we're doing as coaches to put them in positions to be successful.
You mentioned that you don't have any five stars. This will be the last question for me. It's the Matt Stewart question.
I said that many.
That
or
many.
Five. Any or... Yeah, I don't look at stars. I just look at the kid.
Hey, no.
He's like, look, I'm not the interview guy, okay? Just like take the big picture.
No, I mean, look, J.J. Watt was a zero star. That's all you got to say. A guy like that in high school. It's the Matt Stewart question. We have here, make that kid an offer. And what we like to do is put the spotlight on those student athletes that either aren't getting looks, period, or aren't getting the looks that you think they should be getting, regardless of whatever star folks put on them. Is there anybody, or are there anybodies on your roster that would fit that make that kid an offer moniker that we're going to be keeping an eye on this Friday night?
And I have a handful of them. You know, you've got Elijah Frey, who our kicker. And this guy has the most explosive leg that I've seen. You know, kicking the ball in the end zone. Punts that, you know, he's had multiple punts over 50 yards. He's had a 51-yard field goal. I think he's like 8 of 9 field goal range, if I'm not mistaken. And then we just got some key guys like Rajay Wisdom in the D-line. You know, he's got some smaller offers. And Joshua Burks, he has been the key cog in our entire team. If you look at him, he plays mainly defense. But he's really stepped up. He's our leading rusher on offense as well, and he's been a key guy. And then Chase Huff would be another one that's an outstanding kid. He's a returning DB. I mean, those would probably be the main four, it's probably more than you wanted. But
no, it's all good.
No, it's good.
Those four kids are big part of our program and the way they play.
We'll have to pass those names.
Oh yeah, we'll pass them to Matt Stewart. Yes, absolutely.
Coach, final question. Do you just have any final thoughts or comments for our listeners to just fully understand what this new era of Norcross High School football looks like?
I mean, for me, I've worked for Keith Maloof for 24 years.
Right.
The foundation is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not touching the foundation. It is rock solid.
It's not broke. Don't fix it.
All I've done is I've made some tweaks. That's all I've done. I met with coaches one by one individually. I met with the seniors, and then we came up with a plan. I let the Christmas holidays happen, and all I did from the off season on is I just put a focus to everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've been more intentional about leadership and character. We opened it up for our entire football team. Like in the past, it's kind of been a leadership council. Those are kids that are voted on by their teammates that are leaders already. But you have guys on your team that have an impact on the field on a Friday night they need some of that character leadership lesson. So mm-hmm. that we focused on what is your why, what is your purpose? And then with each leadership character meeting, we've just built it up and made the questions a little bit harder and had some really good discussions amongst our team. And then the off season's just been more of a focus. You know, we focused on, you know, we lost a lot. Think about it. We had four returning starters on defense. We had two on offense, and that was it.
Wow.
So the focus early on was the weight room, and then we built some weight room toughness. And then from there, we got into some team discipline drills because, you know, if you make a mistake on a Friday night, one mistake affects the entire team. So we just did some more team-focused discipline, like your mat drills, like some people do. But it's just been more of a focus. But I just made some tweaks because of the foundation that this program began. Like, I think back, I got here in 2001. Norcross hadn't made the playoffs since 1995. And then in 2005, we finally get in the playoffs. And we've been there every year ever since, except for 2009. So 19 of 20 years in the playoffs, two state championships, seven region titles. And again, what I'm just trying to do as a program is just to continue that legacy that Coach Maloof left with his program, and I'll do whatever I got to do and work as hard as I got to do for these kids in this community.
Well, it sounds like the gauntlet of interviews paid off. Coach, you're the right man for the job. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Look forward to cheering you on this Friday.
I really appreciate what you guys do for high school football in Georgia. It's just awesome just to give these kids an opportunity to play on a field in a big stage. So I cannot thank you guys enough.
And now we step out of our matchup at Football Fridays and catch you up on a fantastic matchup. And that is in bold-faced, italicized, underlined print, like 98 font Times New Roman. Thomas County Central, Houston County. 8-0 versus 8-0. We caught up with Jeremy Edwards at Houston County a couple weeks ago. Time to catch the flip side of this conversation, and it's going to be a busy night and a packed house at the Jackets Nest. And we also find out from Justin Rogers about the magic of the Vuvuzela.
Coach, this is going to be the toughest question you've probably had all season, so I hope you're ready. Do you have to have the name Tyson to be a playmaker on your unstoppable defense?
It's helped so far. He's made some plays, you know, so it doesn't hurt.
There's two of them,
though. Collective Tyson.
Yeah, the collective Tysons.
Yes.
It's like, man, those guys, what makes them special on your defense?
Well, they're good guys. You know, they're young guys, actually, you know, just kind of coming in on some injuries and had to come in and play and then just kind of found the ball and be able to make plays. He's got two picks and two pick sixes in Tyson Johnson. And like I say, Tyson Guyon's doing a good job when he subs in also.
I'm trying to do math here, which is always a problem for me. So 1, 3, 4, 7 scores allowed all season, 4 shutouts with this defense of yours. And the offense, I think you've probably had to probably roll over the numbers on the scoreboard at times with all the offensive yards that you've been putting together. What's it like to see the offense collectively put up the numbers that it has, and the defense collectively, including the Stereo Tysons, to put that kind of effort in there where you're not giving up anything and you're scoring a lot? What's it like to see that collective come together?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I know that. But now it's it's rewarding. I mean, the kids have been working hard since January. And we felt like we had a special group this year. This senior class has been a really, really good group. And so we knew they were a special group. And so to see them play that way and to continue to play at a high level, I mean, that's something we've really been trying to push them is don't peak, you know, right now. And sometimes when you have a lot of early success, you have a tendency to peak and start a slow fade. And so we're trying to fight that. But I thought defense, and then, you know, our defense playing so good has been such a help for our offense. Mm-hmm. Our defense been able to force a lot of three and outs and things like that. And so you're getting a lot of tired defenses coming right back out on the field, which has helped our offense a lot with explosive plays.
Coach, I was going to just say, I mean, you talked about peaking. Who do you feel like on the team is really peaking right now? I know John's going to be our eyes and ears as the sideline reporter for your game. Is there anyone that we need to be keeping our eyes on this matchup specifically?
No doubt right now who's kind of taking their game to another level is our running back, Christian Lawrence. I mean, he's playing at a very high level. He was a really good running back last year and a dynamic player, but he has definitely just added a lot more to his game in the power that he runs and the violence he's running with. He's always been elusive and quick, but he's just running in between the tackles so much better this year, in my opinion. And so I think he's playing really, really good. And then collectively, just the play of our defensive line. I mean, mm-hmm. we're five deep on the defensive line of really good players, really twitchy players, big players, strong. Our D-line is a very strong force and has really been the kind of gets that defense going with the winning the line of scrimmage the way they do.
I would maintain that Region 2-5A is one of the toughest mm-hmm. regions in the state, regardless of classification. For someone who hasn't had the chance to dive into your region to see just how much of a 15-round heavyweight fight it is every week, how would you break it down?
No, it's great. You know, I know a lot of people have always used the analogy of the SEC and everything because everybody kind of understands that analogy, and that's what it is. There's so many well-coached teams. In our league alone, you know, we got six teams in our league. Five head coaches have won state championships as a head coach.
Wow.
And so they've all been there, done that. So they're checking every box. They have good players. They have prideful communities and schools. I mean, they have everything and every ingredient that you want to be a successful program. And so week in, week out, it's just been a difficult task. Now, and on the flip side of that, it's been very good for our teams in the playoffs. Yeah. As our teams go into the playoffs, we feel very much prepared because you've seen the devil. And so now you got a chance to make a run. And our teams have made run. You know, I think we've swept the last 2 years of all four teams. And I think we had four in the quarterfinals, if I ain't mistaken, last year. And so it's a good league. It's a challenging league. Now, it has added me a couple more gray hairs on the side. As long as they hold on, we can turn gray. Just don't let go. Mm-hmm. But it's a good deal. It's a really good situation. The good league.
You mentioned how great a town Thomasville is, and I don't think a lot of folks mm-hmm. north of the Nat line fully yep. understand what Thomasville means to football. And yes, I am also to a certain extent talking about the red team down the street.
Yeah.
But for someone who's never been to Thomasville, never been to the Nest, never seen you play, never been down the street, never seen War of the Roses, what does Thomasville mean when it embraces football, whether it's with you or the folks down the street?
Well, the first thing that you think of when you think of, you know, Thomasville and Thomas County is they ain't no new kids on the block. I mean, this place has been good for years, mm-hmm. Central and Thomasville, you know, in football. I mean, it goes on since they started playing high school football in Georgia. So it's a tradition-rich community in both schools and both programs that football is highly important, and it still mm-hmm. is. And the school is important. And the fact that, you know, these parents are, I'm a Bulldog, my kid's going to be a Bulldog, or I'm a Yellow Jacket, my kid's going to be, like school pride's important, and we've lost that. You know, that's something high school sports has lost, where you grew up wanting to be this mascot. Like, this is what I want to be. And now it's just kind of the where I'm going to go to this time. And so it's awesome to still have that, to where it's important to put that blue and gold on to a ton of kids up here. And so that makes it special. And then our 12th man, I mean, just the Jacket Nation. I mean, when you get rules made up for you, then you know you're doing something
yes.
right. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, you are doing something right.
Uh-huh.
And so really proud of them.
Vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzela.
We were trying to Vuvuzelas, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were
still even learn how to say it.
I know.
How
he's always.
Horns.
Literally, it is the long plastic horn that we first heard in the World Cup in South Africa.
That's right.
And it is a noisemaker that is beyond compare. You can't. There is no
sound. Don't it sound like a swarm of Yellow Jackets?
A little bit. We'll go with that.
Yeah,
a little buzz.
See, yeah.
A little buzz.
Yes,
yeah.
Come on, give it to me.
And you have to make sure that if you are the person that is using the Vuvuzela, that, you know, remember how you, like when you were a kid, you take the blade of grass, you put it between your thumbs and you would blow and your lips would vibrate.
Yeah.
And it would, that's,
yeah,
well,
maybe go back in the closet and get one. I got one in here somewhere.
Well, oh, go get it.
I was going to say,
go
in 2023.
It. Yeah.
State championship. Mm-hmm. I did a sideline hit about mm-hmm. it because they snuck them in mm-hmm. to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
How do you sneak in a vuvuzela?
Listen, Coach, you remember that they were there. They were present.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
I don't have one. Oh. I thought I had one in there, but I don't see one. But no, it was just they walked in the front door.
How do you smuggle in a vuvuzela?
Hey, listen, that place was rocking though. I still remember.
Yes, it was.
It is.
It boded well for you. I mean, you know.
And you completely and totally distracted everything, and you made everybody focus on things that were not on the field. And when you have that kind of extra intangible, mm-hmm. it's great. So, all right, so let me get this straight.
And there was not a single person that year left back in Thomasville
for what it's worth.
Well,
maybe. You go the other part of town. Because I don't know if the red team cheers the other team, even if it's in a championship
game. Well, you know what I meant. There was not one person sitting at home watching the TV that was a Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so when there's a game at the Jacket's Nest, do you allow said vuvuzela into the stadium? Is that cool?
That's highly encouraged.
Okay, all right.
So it's still like the rule is not in place when you're playing at the Nest at home.
Because it's also outdoors and you're in open air as opposed to being inside a facility like Mercedes.
There's still a rule for it.
Okay.
And so there's a rule. They kind of treat it like the horns for the fans now. It's treated a little bit like the band. And so we can get a warning now for that and get penalized. In the league game, we got a 15-yard penalty on the fans that went from a 3rd and 17 to a 3rd and 2.
And then you converted it, though, so it didn't matter, right?
No, they converted that one. but we were able to get a stop later on in the drive. But no, it's so we've had to do some learning curve and be able to, because some teams come down and they embrace the atmosphere because it's they want to be in that big moment and have that thing. And then you have other teams that come down and they want to silence it. And so you just kind of have to adjust week by week on how we're going to play it. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of unique that you got to adjust like that, but it is what it is.
We're adjusting to a vuvuzela.
We have to make fan adjustments. Like most people just have to make halftime adjustments. We're having to talk to the fans to make an adjustment. And that's real. We had to make PA announcements like, do not blow that thing again because I've already got one 15-yard. I can't get another one. We've had to do some things different, but I think you're going to see some cowbells show up, some other things that are all legal, and so you'll see those things show up.
Wait, you had the milk jugs. Didn't y'all do the
milk jugs?
Jugs
that the elementary school made.
That's right.
The elementary school. Yeah, they make milk jugs and stuff them, and they use that as arts and crafts in our kindergartens. And,
how amazing
like
is that?
And so we have those as well.
Yeah, that was cool. They were all decorated, glitter, all mm-hmm. sorts of stuff, painted up, markered.
Yeah,
and I loved it.
Yeah. And that's what small town. I mean, that's what high school football is supposed to be. Something that brings your community as a rallying force together.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what socioeconomic you came from, what background you came from, on a Friday night, everyone's supporting one common cause, which is your local high school football mm-hmm. team. And that's what always made high school football so great. And that's why you hear people always talk about, even professionals talk about how. Their high school experience is what they think back to so fondly because it's the purest part. It's the community event. And so I hope we never lose that in Thomas County, and I don't think we will.
How many people seated does the Jacket's Nest hold?
That's a good question. I should know that answer. I know this, mm-hmm. not enough,
well,
because
yeah.
we played Thomasville this year. We had to lock the gates at, I think it was like 7:40, because we had too many in there.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah.
And then they started climbing the fence.
Whoa.
Well, why wouldn't they?
To continue to pack it in, because both teams are having a phenomenal year this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so both teams were undefeated and all that. And it was something else. It was a sight to behold.
And the reason I ask is because I assume that you're on a first name basis with the county fire marshal.
Yes. Yeah, we were on a real first name basis in that game when we had to shut the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I figured that gentleman might be just as important this go around with everybody coming down from Houston County for this game. And mm-hmm. we are absolutely looking forward to it. Your last question for Coach. You got one?
Coach, No, I don't. I was in this moment, I was thinking of the gate and just kids scaling.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
A gate. And I'm like, how, I mean.
Kids, what you talking about kids? You talking about grown folks.
grown men.
Yes.
No, but I'm like, how do you contain that? Like, how do you keep track of all these people scaling the fence? I mean, that's, you're right, because this is the game of
the
year.
Capital T,
this
capital
is the
G.
game. Both teams 8-0.
It was like Saturday after our game, the principal called me, and he was just, you know, hey, coach, good job, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how'd it go for you? I said, you the one had to deal with everything else. And that's when he told me that they were, man, he said, coach, we have them jumping the fences. I said, wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, that was my only question. I was sitting there still processing in the imagery. How do you contain it?
Yeah, sometimes
because it's only going to get worse.
Well, yeah, but
you can't contain Jacket Nation.
You know, you can't contain Jacket Nation, yeah, John.
See, there you go. That's your quote. as always, Justin, it's great to see you. We know it's a big game for you this weekend, and you know that you're not a stranger. You know where the garage door opener is and where the keys are under the mat when it comes to hanging out with us. You can crash anytime. It's always great to see you. We figured we had to catch up with you one time in the regular season.
That's right.
At least. And we figured we'd catch up with you on this one as you're running the gauntlet there in 2-5. Thanks again for dropping by, my friend.
Awesome, awesome. Thank y'all so much.
Thanks, Coach. See ya.
You know, Nick, I'm disappointed that he didn't have a vuvuzela in his closet there in his office.
It seems like a really missed opportunity.
I think that we probably should find one. Maybe spray paint it up a little bit and send it to him just so he has it as kind of like a trophy in the office.
Yeah.
Have the ready-made vuvuzela that he can just sit there and flash at any moment.
My 4-year-old would have a field day with bedazzling and decorating one of those for Coach Rogers, and then I would get it to you and you could just take it to him on Friday.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be fun if you sit there and we just email it, or just sit there and mail it to the guy. The FedEx guy rolls right up.
It's
I have a package here for Coach Rogers. And that's an odd looking package, sir. And you open it up and it's a bedazzled vuvuzela in Thomas County Central colors.
Why not? That could be his thing each week. Like, you know how they have
the bedazzled vuvuzela?
Yeah, like they have chain gangs, you know, and they have
Jeremy,
things
are you
to
hearing this?
How?
To hand off to football
bedazzled
players.
Bedazzled vuvuzela is the word of the day.
Bedazzled vuvuzela.
Yeah, it could be the MVV
of the
week.
The MVV.
The MVV.
I think
the most
it has
valuable
legs.
Valuable vuvuzela.
I think it has legs. And I think the players would appreciate it.
Oh, I think so too.
So here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
There's
a problem.
Don't crush my dreams.
No, it's that I've got to Google how to spell vuvuzela so I can get the episode posted.
V-U-V-U-Z-U-E-L-A.
Wait, say it again.
V-U-V-U-Z-U. ELA.
It's kind of like Venezuela.
How do you
but
know
just
this?
Because of the soccer thing from the South African World Cup.
Oh, my.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody
so many
knows
things
what they
just
are.
Get stuck in your head.
Yes, I am the prince of pedanticism. Look both of those words up. So vuvuzela was one of the first things. You know, it comes out and everybody's making all the noise and it sounds like air raid sirens or bumblebees.
It really
or whatever.
Does sound like, yes, a group of bees.
Yeah.
Swarming.
Yeah, so Coach Rogers is right there with the assessment.
Yeah, he's right there.
V U V U Z U E L A.
It's like Venezuela, but take the ven off,
correct,
add the vuvu.
Yeah, there's no ven, it's just vuvu.
Yeah.
I see where you're going.
Listen, he's going to have an MVV every week. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah, so Nick's got this squared away. All right. Time to take the tour, and I have all of the results. By the way, North Gwinnett and Norcross, 7 o'clock start time. I don't think we've mentioned that enough. We need to continue to mention that. 7 o'clock start time, special time because of the region this year. And that is our over-the-air game, North Atlanta at West Forsyth is the game that we have on all of the webs, and Cody Chaffins will have the call there. Okay, so now, as I turn, because remember, you got to look up Mountain. You got to tell me what happened with your school. All right, so here we go. It is the out-of-staters. President Reagan lost, so they lost to Topsail, lost to West Brunswick in the state of North Carolina. Reagan has yet to win a game this year. Goodwill Hunting and his Pequawson Islanders, by the way, that is a killer logo, in Virginia. They lost to War Hill 35-28, and that's their first loss of the year, so they're 7-1. Hannah was off this week. She's 5-3, and they are at Sprayberry in a big region battle. So now, looking at the other scores from the week, as I sit here and look at all my region standings. Okay, so James's Central Macon lost to Northeast. Northeast is ranked. There's no shame in that at all. Darlington beat Model, by the way, Ambassador Jeremy. 47-21. You almost doubled them up. Darlington and Model. Does this one ring a bell with you, sir? as he sits there and he's trying to figure out.
No, that's...
Darlington beat Model.
I mean, I'm disappointed in Darlington's season, but I'm glad that they won.
Yes. So there you go. Commander Sandy, and I squared off, and Decatur beat Lakeside DeKalb 28-0. There goes Tokyo. Mark Chilla had a rough day against Gainesville. Everybody's been having a rough day against Gainesville this year. Big win for Gainesville in that one. Let's see. As I sit here and I'm trying to find my underlines. Jake the Snake's Parkview beat Duluth 42-29. You should be happy about that one in your household. And let's see, Marky Marks Pickens beat Johnson Gainesville 49-3, so that was a big win for them. And I think that is everyone. That is true. Okay, so what did Mountain Mountain do?
Okay, no, none of our listeners want to know Oak Mountain.
Yeah, they
do. And the result, because they're 3-5.
Yeah.
They lost to Hewitt Trustful.
Mm-hmm.
They have Hillcrest coming up. Hillcrest is out of Tuscaloosa, which I would be more than glad to talk about that win on Saturday in Tuscaloosa.
Uh-huh.
Over the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, keep talking.
And if you remember, the only loss Alabama had was a season opener against your team.
Yeah, who who's started out 3-0, and they're now 3-4, and they've got a $9 gazillion buyout that I'm stuck with because they ain't activating it.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to wind them up. I just was, you know, it was the Hillcrest there in Tuscaloosa, which Squirrel made me get to Roll Tide and smoke them if you got them.
We don't have to continue
cigars,
with this because John did walk into the room yelling about a coach buyout thing. John, you can just wrap it up. We don't have to get into it.
No, we don't have to. Don't, yeah.
All right, so.
This is where we end our show and we can do it with calm voices.
Sure. Okay, so recap the guests.
Who'd we have on the show? Today we had Coach Godfrey from North Gwinnett, and then we had Coach Richardson, Andrew Whitworth's twin.
Yeah, or yes.
From Norcross. He has to still look him up, though, to understand
it. Well, Andrew Whitworth is Corey Richardson's twin.
That's true. That's what he said.
Yes.
And then last but not least, we had Coach Rogers of Thomas County Central.
8-0 versus 8-0 in Region 2-5A. That is a heavyweight battle, and that's going to be one of the great ones here in the state.
So, you're going to have a blast.
So it is North Gwinnett and Norcross, 7 o'clock start time, so 7:05 kick on GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app, all the GPB socials, and that's going to be a big region game there. It's going to be great to see our friends up at Norcross. And then on the web, once again, North Atlanta at West Forsyth. Cody Chaffin's on the call for that one. On the sports app, on the web, and all the other places. Multi-screen experience as we get you closer and closer and closer to the playoffs and closer to the postseason and all of the math that's going to be involved there once again. So let me see who's behind the glass. Let's see. It is Ambassador Jeremy. It is There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. It looks like it is Marky Mark and King James, I believe. I believe that's accurate. And the unknown intern. And I think the unknown intern is back there, too. So it is a full house back there. And it's always great to be here with you, Nick.
Nick and Nelly, we got this.
Oh, and we did have a birth.
We did. You're pointing at me. It was not my birth.
No.
But it was Hannah's and baby Violet. She came into the world and she is so cute.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, that is officially official.
She's so cute.
The house of girls with goodens.
The girl gang. I love it.
Yeah. Girl gang continues with Hannah. And we could not be happier for Hannah and John as Violet is now a part of the mix.
Do you think she's made sourdough yet?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Once you have that third kid, you're just in like mom mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do all the things.
Yes. And so we're going to try and see if we can get some.
That'd be great.
All right. So
I would love that. Hannah, we love you. Congratulations, girl.
Absolutely. So for Nick, I'm John. Thanks for dropping by for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Enjoy your games wherever they are. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy yours. We'll see you next week.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.